Right now, time to welcome in Brian Ross once again with Real News here on Robinhood Radio. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, and no shortage of real news, is there?
Yeah, you know, I have watched varying coverage from the BBC, from ABC, CBS, NBC, even a little bit of Fox. And the thing that struck me at first was the sheer stupidity of nations just don't learn that regime change doesn't work. It just doesn't work like it did. But then when you start to see the civilian deaths mount, especially lately, but also the pictures, and this I stopped watching after the pictures of the young Russian soldiers dead on the streets of the Ukraine, just left there. And you say to yourself, it's madness, sheer madness.
Without a doubt. And that body toll starting to mount, more than 500 officially declared dead by Russian of their own soldiers. And that number probably is greater than what Russia is saying. And we'll see what happens. I've been watching closely. Yet we see this morning they've made some advances. They've taken apparently a key town on the Black Sea. So that doesn't bode well for the Ukrainians. They're holding out elsewhere. The 40-mile-long convoy is stalled, and it looks like the Russian army, much vaunted, is not such a force as we thought. And U.S. generals are sort of surprised to see this, but they're learning a lot from watching. You know, one of the big questions now, and it's being talked about a lot in Washington, puts President Biden, he's got to make a tough decision here, our pushes to ban or embargo Russian oil, because as long as we and Europe continue to buy oil, Putin continues to have a financial lifeline there. Yet if we cut off Russian oil, probably get the price of gasoline in this country up to $6, $7 a gallon.
Well, you know, you have to look at it in a pragmatic way. Do you want to stop what wasn't stopped before World War One or World War Two, or do you want to seriously stop it now, as a world, and suffer the price where you pay $6 a gallon for gasoline for a year, and governments try to chip in and help whatever way they can? This is really a major inflection point for the world as a whole. Will we learn our lesson from World War One and World War Two? Will we learn our lessons that you can't have regime change in Iraq, and you can't have regime change like Russia wanted in Afghanistan and Syria and more like that? All these questions are out on the table, and really the face of Europe and the world can change drastically in the next 3 months, because you and I both know, Brian, that the Russians can take over as many cities as they want. They're never, never going to quell the Ukrainian spirit, and there'll be hand-to-hand combat and fighting for years to come if they stay there.
Without a doubt. An ominous sign, Russia now asking Finland and a couple other countries in the Scandinavian area for guarantees they won't be joining NATO, with the implied threat you could be next. So we are in a historic time, and Putin's megalomania, his efforts to sort of recreate the great Russian or Soviet empire, he's becoming like a modern-day czar.
And it's proven out that what's so strong about NATO is NATO has come together magnificently to support the Ukraine and to also support their own borders. And what Putin has done here with Russia is, I think, exactly what he didn't want to do. He proved why NATO is so important, and why the NATO alliance and the European alliance is so important, because he definitely, and he stated this all along, and he wants to rebuild the USSR like it was. It doesn't look like the European Union or NATO is going to let that happen. I mean, he does have legitimate concerns about NATO being so close to his borders. There's no doubt about that. But to go to war against Ukraine and to threaten other former Soviet republics that broke away when the Soviet Union disassembled is proving to be a big mistake for him.
And he's looking at what 100 years ago, 1922, the Soviet Empire was formed, and he always saw that, of course, as you were saying, collapse of that is one of the great horrible things for Mother Russia. But nevertheless, just because he has security concerns, does that give him the right to march in unprovoked and kill innocent civilians in Ukraine and try to force them to his will? I don't think that stands. And that's a key point, as you say, we are in historic times.
You know, and I quoted this to a couple of people online who were defending Putin's grab out and bringing Russia back to where it was. If you've studied history, the British Empire, there was a quote about the British Empire: "The sun never sets on the British Empire," from many, many years ago, because they had so many different holdings. Well, Britain is no less stronger now than it was back then, after giving up their empire status in so many places. And that's the thing that I just don't understand in Russia, why they don't understand that a Russia that is economically strong and powerful is every bit as big a superpower as a USSR, if not more. And they've put themselves in a very, very strange position where, you know, four countries, including Russia, were the only ones that voted in favor of Russia and the United Nations. Now, we did have five countries abstain, but still, that's just an astounding vote in the United Nations.
Right. And but for, I guess, Syria, North Korea, Belarus, and
and Russia.
Who else they could find? I guess China abstained. You know, they have no support worldwide, yet that has not stopped Putin. So there are supposed to be more so-called peace talks today between Ukraine and Russia and Belarus, and we'll see what happens there. I've been following closely the efforts to go after the oligarchs, the multi-billionaires who have supported Putin's rise to power, and who he has thanked with incredible riches and allowed them to ravage the Russian economy. But now they're seizing the yachts. They're being forced to sell their British soccer teams. Their money in the U.S. has been frozen. You know, they've got to make a decision. Do they support the man for whom they've been lapdogs, or do they stand up and say, we are opposed to this and we want to keep our money?
It's going to be one of those things that we're going to unfortunately have to live with for quite a while, and the Ukrainians are going to have to live with for quite a while. It's amazing to be alive in a time like this. I mean, at 69, I came after the Second World War, but I was born, of course, during the Great Revival of the United States. But I've lived through Vietnam. I've lived through the Middle East crises. I've lived through a lot. But this is a major inflection point for the world as a whole, not just for the United States. And I think people in the free world, and that includes all over the world, are going to have to bite their lip and buckle down and take with some high prices, because Russia has now proven exactly what some people have said. Russia is nothing more than a gas station that has nuclear arms.
well said. But the nuclear arms, you know, that does change every calculation.
It really does. We can move away from that and look at the news from January 6th. Some of the revelations came out, how close Donald Trump really was in the workings of trying to get Pence to bring in a separate slate of electors.
Right, and the filing by the House Select Committee, which is supported by the two Republicans and the other Democrats on there, which is really monumental. The filing in court is that they say they have evidence to show that Donald Trump and others in his campaign and his administration broke the law and sought to defraud the United States by blocking the counting of elections. So that puts pressure on Merrick Garland, that the House is saying there was a crime committed and Donald Trump committed the crime. That's in the papers they filed in court yesterday.
And I did not watch the State of the Union address, but I am so tired of the lack of respect. It started when President Obama was giving his State of the Union address and a Republican shouted out. And once again, that disrespect was shown to Joe Biden. And you know what? You can see that disrespect on the news every day with people all over the country. People just think you have the right to say anything you want at any time you want.
Well, that's part of the glory of this country. I would argue that our First Amendment and the elected officials, their safety on the floor of the House gives them that right. It's up to the voters to say whether that was appropriate or not. And, you know, that those clips of the heckling of the president, especially when he's talking about trying to cure cancer or what he went through with the loss of his own son, I think do not reflect well on those who did it, to Republicans. And let's see if that lasts or people sort of tolerate that.
Well, I mean, as someone who's covered the news for so many years and big news stories, what do you see in the weeks ahead for Ukraine as a final topic here in the news?
A long, slow battle. We are resupplying 200 Stinger missiles this week from the U.S. went into Ukraine. It's not a cakewalk, as many countries have found out when they try to invade other countries. And but Russia's making some slow and steady progress. I really have to say that. Those are the facts on the ground.
All right, Brian, interesting times we live in, and it's always great to have your insight here on a Thursday morning.
Talk to you soon.
Take care. Brian Ross and Real News here on Robinhood Radio. And you can find Brian at our on-demand site, robinhoodradio.com. Click on On Demand, click on Real News with Brian Ross.